Hi, and welcome to the Desert Heights Church Weekly Message. The Gospel of John was written to prove that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and that those who believe in him will have eternal life. Now let's join Pastor Brent for our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of John.
Glory. Now, in the past, whenever the Jews decide to kill Jesus, Jesus slips away, and John tells us, because it was not his time. It was not God's time for Jesus to be killed. Now Jesus himself tells us, now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter his glory. Verse 24, I tell you the truth, Jesus says. Here's another illustration. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. So picture this in your head. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone, all by itself. But its death will produce new kernels, a plentiful harvest of what? New lives. Every time Jesus comes to Jerusalem, his life is in danger. And every time, because it's not the right time, because it's not God's time, Jesus leaves safely. But this time is the right time. This time's going to be different. Jesus uses this illustration that everybody who's ever planted a garden understands. I have seeds out in my garage that have been on the shelf for, we moved into our house 9 years ago, so they've been there for 8 years. They have not grown flowers because they haven't gone into the ground yet, okay? So even if you're like me and have a black thumb instead of a green thumb, you understand the illustration, the seed. And then I love 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul takes this and he just expands the whole idea of the incredible importance of what Jesus is talking about here, but I digress. The seed grows. It has to be buried into the ground. It dies and it's buried into the ground. Death, right? And the seed, it takes root and it grows and it comes out of that little brown shell and it produces what Jesus says here is a plentiful harvest of new lives. Jesus is not making an illustration about wheat. Don't get distracted with the wheat. He's talking about the life. He's talking about lives specifically. His life specifically. Jesus will be the seed that will die. Jesus will be the seed that dies and is buried. Jesus is the seed that will produce many new lives. Get your brain around that? Now see, I told you that was very simple. Some of you are looking at me like, Brent, we learned this in Sunday school. Good. Then we have something to celebrate about, right? Amen. Okay, but then Jesus follows it up immediately. He turns the illustration on his followers. So he tells them the seed has to go into the ground and die. Now, like most of us, we tend to be kind of clueless. God speaking, we're like, I don't know, I just kind of go along. So they're not even fully comprehending that Jesus is telling them, I am going to die. Those that are starting to get the idea, they're like, "That no, well, you're going to see in the text. Verse 25, those who love their life in this world will lose it. So Jesus is going from this illustration that is pointing to him dying, going into the ground, rising again, multiple lives coming from that, to he looks at his people and he says, listen, those who love their life in this world, they're going to lose it. The tighter you hang on to your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Those, he goes on, those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for what? Eternity. Jesus is about to model this. He's not just teaching and being like, you ought to go do whatever. No, he's telling them, and then he's going to do it. He's going to surrender his life. The Lord God Almighty is going to surrender himself, his life, to these peons who are going to kill him. And then he says, you don't hold on to this life because you'll lose it for sure. Instead, hold on to this life loosely so that you can have it for eternity, so that you can have eternal life. Are you with me? Following? That's incredible. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me, anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. And the implication is where? In death, yes. Because my servants must be where I am, and the Father, I like this, the Father, God the Father, will honor anyone who serves me. Jesus was not attached to this life. He was not so attached to this life that he couldn't lose his life. I know it's a double negative. Are you thinking with me? Just as Jesus gave up his life, gave up this life, those who believe in him will also care nothing for this life in this world. And they will follow Jesus, also surrendering their life. Last week I talked about Mary giving the nard, and at the end of my message I said, we're going to give our best. We're going to give our very best to our spouse, our family, our church, our community. We're going to share the gospel of Jesus. And I said, if you're thinking in your mind, if I give my best to all of those people, then I have nothing. And I ended service with, every once in a while I like what I preach too. I ended service with, if all we have left is what Mary has, then we have the greatest treasure that this world could never even give to us. And we're back to this same situation where we give our lives like Jesus and we have something this world cannot give us. That's good. That's really, really, really good. He ends this text and he says, God the Father will honor you, those who serve you. God the Father is going to not only just honor the Lord Jesus Christ, but God will honor those who give up their lives. So we come to Christianity, we come to Christ, and we surrender ourselves to Christ, and we say, Lord, you do in my life what you wish. I'll give up my dreams and desires so that you can be glorified in me. And if you want me to praise you a little bit too loud, then that's what I'll do. If you want me to tell people about the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in an awkward situation, then that's what I'll do. If you want me to be a little bit politically incorrect so that people know that there's hope, there's legitimately hope, not in our government, not in, I'm a patriot, I love America, but sweetheart, America doesn't save us. I say sweetheart condescendingly in the event you were wondering. It's kind of like bless your heart. I'm sorry you're that way. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm back to your notes, Brent. Very good. John abruptly goes on. That's funny. John abruptly goes on because John is not going to be distracted by all these other details. Verse 27, he says, and I love this, you put yourself in the shoes of Jesus. And John is telling us this story. He says, Jesus says, my soul is deeply troubled. This is logos from the first 9 verses. Everything that was created through Jesus. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Lord God Almighty. And he says, my soul is deeply troubled. Why? He knows what's going on this week. He knows that before the end of the week, he is going to be brutally murdered. So then he says, watch this. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Now, for those of us who are believers, the fact that Jesus asked that question should terrify us. Because if Jesus prays that prayer, if Jesus prays to God the Father and say, Father, spare me from this moment, you and I no longer have salvation. This would be a fun time to just stop, huh? We can close in prayer and you have to come back next week to see how the story ends. We all go to lunch, man. I can't eat. I think I lost my salvation this morning. What was that app that Brent's talking about we can use? There's a Bible app. Hurry, pull it up. What chapter are we in? What book are we in? You better not ask that. Jesus says, now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Because Jesus knows that giving his life is going to cost him painfully. But this is the very reason I came. And look at the punctuation here, okay? Let me just allow me to be an English geek for a minute. Now my soul is deeply troubled, period. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour, question mark? And I think he's asking it somewhat sarcastically. But this is the very reason I came. Does he put a period? Nope. Puts an exclamation point. Why? Because Jesus is excited. Some of you are like, that's very interesting. An exclamation point, Brent. What was the sermon about? I don't know. Brent's all excited because there was an exclamation point. Because Jesus is telling these people, should I pray and ask God to deliver me from saving you? No! This is the very reason that the Messiah, the Son of God, has come to earth to live among you. This is my purpose. Father, bring glory to your name. Yeah, I love it. You know, tangent again. People who are looking for the will of God. I just can't find the will of God in my life. It's hidden in the black and white words, and letters, sentences on the pages of your Bible. You open it up. What is the reason for us to be here? To give our lives for the glory of God. Well, I just don't know what to do. Read your Bible. We need a better pastor. Read your Bible. His answer for everything is, read your Bible. See what God has to say about it. Golly, surely we can get a better one. All right, carrying on. Just take a moment. How are we doing? Oh, not good. Just take a moment and absorb the humanity of Jesus for a moment. 2 moments. Jesus, we just see. He says, my soul is deeply troubled. He understands that he is on his way to death. But he's not going to pray and ask God to deliver him. I mean, that would be just like us, right? You know, we pray and we ask God to reveal his will, reveal his plan to us. And then whenever he does, we pray to be delivered from it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. Then Jesus, he refocuses what's going on here. He says, Father, this is not about my heart being broken over what's about to happen or me fearing the next few weeks or few days, death. This is not about praying for deliverance. This is all, everything that Jesus does, everything that Jesus says, everything about him is about pointing toward the glory of the name of God the Father. This is not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what makes me comfortable. See, I don't think that all of Christianity is this way, but there's this pressure in Christianity that we come to God because Christianity provides comfort to us. And I want comfort, so then I'll be a Christian. And that's not really how it works. When we look at the New Testament, you see that becoming a Christian often brings trials, and God himself comforts us while we're in that trial. That's what we sign up for. Oh, it's not what I thought. Right? Yeah. This is all about God the Father. It's not about you. Then, back to the text, he says, then a voice spoke from heaven. This is one of those we don't talk about very often. Then a voice from heaven says, I have already brought glory to my name, and I will do so again. So he's probably talking about Lazarus, right? He's already brought glory to his name. I read that at the very first so that would be in your head, so that when we read this, you would think, oh, he's talking about Lazarus. Verse 29, when the crowd heard the voice, some thought that it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to him. Now, I do think that this is talking about Lazarus from chapter 11, where Jesus says, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory for this. The voice says, I've already glorified myself once, I will do it again. What's he talking about? resurrection of Jesus. God offers a word of encouragement for those listening. Lazarus died and was raised to new life. Jesus is going to die, but he will be raised to life. Those who follow Jesus, that's us, you guys, we will die, but we will be raised to new life. And God's glory is demonstrated in every one of those scenarios. Isn't that cool? We'll give our lives. We will give this pathetic, inept, incompetent life. We will die, and God will be glorified. Wow. Verse 30, then Jesus told them, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. I mean, he's part of the Trinity, so Jesus knows what's going on. The voice was for your benefit, not mine, so that you guys would believe. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out, and when I am lifted up from the earth, watch this carefully, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this to indicate how he was going to die. John wrote this. We read it every week. John wrote this story so that you and I might believe and have eternal life. The audible voice was not for Jesus's benefit. I speak for a living. It's kind of funny. The audible voice was not for Jesus' benefit, but for your benefit, so that you might believe. When we see Jesus lifted up on the cross as we go through the next several chapters, we'll get there at Easter-ish. When we see Jesus lifted up on the cross, we will be drawn to Jesus because he gave his life for us. Jesus dying on the cross would happen exactly as Jesus said it would happen. We have every reason to believe in him. Now, some of you are thinking, Brent, well, let me back up here. So here's my perspective in teaching and preaching this passage of Scripture, is that you have to understand not everybody's been in church as long as you have. Not everybody's been in church as short as you have. So for some of us, we're reading this and we're like, this is what I have believed for 40 years, and I read this again and I need to be reminded that Jesus died for me, and I need to follow and continuing to give up my life, give up my desires, my selfishness, so that God will be glorified in my life. For some of us, for others, it is we are coming into this and we're like, I just want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Christ. I don't really know how to do it, and I don't really understand the mechanism of it. I don't understand how God does it. And then we look at this and we see that this Jesus is part of the Passover, his plan to set us free from the power of death. And whenever we give ourselves to him and we die to ourselves, then we're resurrected in the power of Jesus Christ, and we have life in God. It's pretty glorious. Doesn't really matter where you're at, whether or not you think this is foundational and you're tired of it, or if it's a brand new idea to you, this is the word of God for your salvation. Yeah, I get excited about it. Verse 34, the crowd responded because he just indicated to them that he's going to die, how he's going to die. He's going to be hung on a cross. The crowd responded, we understood from Scripture, we understood from Scripture that the Messiah would live forever. So they're like, what? Now Jesus says he's going to die. We thought he was the Messiah. We've been celebrating. We've been reciting these prophecies. We thought he's the Messiah. He's going to live forever. How can you say that the Son of Man will die? Just who is the Son of Man anyway? I mean, seriously, we look through the story of Jesus and we see humanity. We see ourselves, right? I mean, you don't have to look around right now. We see ourselves. It is as though the Holy Spirit knows our objections even before we do. Every one of us has this part of us to be a skeptic. Like, yeah, right, sure. If it sounds too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. We're raised on that. So then Jesus comes along, and it seems like he's the Messiah. He's doing these miracles. He's resurrecting the dead. And now it's like, wait, that's not what the Old Testament says. I mean, Jesus doesn't meet all of my expectations of who he should be. One of the stumbling blocks in America to people coming to Christianity is that they think that they can create this God in their mind and call it the Christian God. And then whenever they come to that, they're like, oh, I just thought that God was like a big candy store and we just asked him for whatever we wanted and he just gave it to us. Then we get into the scripture and we find out that that's not how he is. And then we're disappointed. God doesn't meet my expectations, so I'm not going to be a Christian then. I don't think he can be God because he's not the God that I thought he was going to be. Well, you're a genius. It doesn't make sense that Jesus would die for me. Jesus doesn't know how bad my sins are. So, hey, you know, if it's too good to be true, then it must be not true. Just who is this Son of Man anyways? Why would this Son of God want to be my sacrificial lamb so that the angel of death will pass over me instead of judging me and that he's going to give me eternal life instead of giving me eternal damnation? I mean, I don't even understand. Why would this guy want to do this for me? Why would God want to do this for me? Who is this man anyway? It doesn't even make any sense. Ever been there before? Verse 35. I'm coming in for a landing. Jesus replied. So these people are getting all wound up. Jesus says, my light will shine for you just a little longer. You see, these people just went back into the darkness of themselves. We're trying to figure out Jesus and who he is and how God's going to save us and why he's going to save us and how this works with me and how I can manipulate it, how I can be in control of my salvation and what God is doing. And man, they just go way off into the dark, way out into the dark. He says, my light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they're going. Verse 36, put your trust in the light while there's still time. Then you will become children of the light. And then after saying these things, Jesus went away and he was hidden from them. This is why I think this is the most simple analogy in Scripture. Jesus tells us, walk in the light. Because if you don't walk in the light, you can't see where you're going. You need Jesus to guide you through this life. Stick to your notes. I'm wanting to deviate so bad. Jesus is the light, and walking in the light makes perfect sense. So when you have that moment of, well, I can do this without Jesus, I can do this on my own, I got a better idea, stop! Walk in the light. Trust in Jesus. I'm not going to say that it's easy, but it's easy. It's when we're defending ourselves in the dark that life is difficult. Whenever we walk in the light, then here we are, and we deal with it, and God gives us grace, and we love one another, and we get along. Walk in the light, and then you will become children of the light. I just think that's pretty wonderful. That is what Desert Heights is about, helping people to become fully devoted followers of Christ so that they can walk in the light, not in the darkness. I give myself to helping you walk in the light. Because I don't want you stumbling around in the darkness. I love you enough to not want you to be stumbling in the darkness. I want you to be children of the light. So yes, every Sunday I point you towards the light. It makes sense to me for you to give your sin-filled, do-it-yourself life and let the light shine so that you can see where you're going. Because I'm telling you, it's easier to just follow Jesus than it is to try to recreate life yourself. You can't do it, and it would be frustrating. And why would you not want to share this same story, this same sentiment with all those in your life? You have the light. Don't you want to share it with your coworkers? Don't you want to share it with your neighbors and friends and family, people that you share your life with? Don't you want, I mean, if you were walking on a trail and it's dark and you have the flashlight, would you not help them? Hey, there's a branch there, don't stumble. We come to Christianity and we're like, I don't want them to know that I have the light. Turn the light on and stick it in your armpit. Be careful. No, we have the light, and we can shine it for other people. And maybe they don't just come flocking and running whenever we shine the light. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes we just shine it, and they go, oh, I see how that person lives, and I want to live like them. They go through, in years past and in the past, we've had people in the church that just are happy, happy, happy all the time. And I have somebody come up and say, hey, I noticed so-and-so, and they're just always happy, and I know a little bit of their backstory. They're going through all kinds of trials in their lives, and they just seem to be happy. Man, you walk in the light, you can see where you're going. Even if it's bad, you can see where you're going, and you're walking with the Creator of heavens and earth, so it's good. No matter how bad it gets on this earth, it's still good when you're following Jesus. This morning, all right, where are we at? Jesus came, this is good, we got to do this. Jesus didn't come just for church people. Jesus came for all people. And you and I have the message. We are the messengers to guide people to the light. It's our responsibility to give ourselves to help other people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to stand with me this morning. I told you we were going to pray together. I have a list of things. I want you, don't look down yet. I'll keep your eyes open because I want you to look around. Part of what we do here is we pray for one another. And so I have a couple of things I'm going to ask you about. You raise your hand, put your hand down. I just want you looking around so that you can see who puts their hands up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. You can stay in your seats. But if you this morning are placing your faith for the first time in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to put your hand up. Put your hand back down. Putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those around you are going to be watching. They're going to pray for you. They're not going to embarrass you. If you have loved ones who need to walk in the light, you know people that you deeply care about. Put your hand up. Look around. Put your hand down. If you need Jesus, the one who shines a light on things to come and bring life into your situation, if you need that Jesus who speaks to the grave and say, Lazarus, come forth, you need a miracle in your life, put your hand up real high. Be anything. You just need God to work something out. Put your hand down. I'm going to pray for all of you. I'm hoping that as Thomas leads us in a song, that you will pray for those around you. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to sing together. While Thomas sings, I'm going to step down here, and if you want me to pray with you, you're welcome to come to the front, and I'll pray with you. We're not going to make a big scene or anything. Thomas is going to sing. He's going to close service with a prayer here in a few minutes, but if you want me to pray with you, I want to pray with you. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We thank you that we can look into Scripture, and we can see that you understand our fears, our anxieties. You know our needs even before we ask. Lord, you saw the hands all this morning for specific needs. You know every single one of them. Lord, I just pray. I pray that you'll bring us into the light. I pray that you will help us to see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that you will set us free to worship you and to serve you and to live for you so that you are glorified in every action and attitude of our lives. God, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as you look and you see the needs of this congregation, Lord, I pray that you meet those needs. Shine a light in the darkness where people need to come to know you. Father, you know where there's provision that people need something from you, Lord. Whatever it is, we pray that you speak a miracle into reality. Lord, meet the needs of your people. Be glorified in the lives of your people. Father, we thank you for making us children of the light. Be glorified in all that we do. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
You have been listening to the Desert Heights Church weekly message. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Main Street in Farmington, New Mexico. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at desertheightschurch.com.